Genesis 45, verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. Then, when Jacob saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel, another name for Jacob, and Israel said, it is true, it's enough, it's so, it's true. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. How is it that we can be so cotton-picking pessimistic? It amazes me. We have this tendency, many of us, to be pessimistic. Now you may say, what is a pessimist? Well, a pessimist is one who feels bad about feeling good for fear that he'll feel worse when he feels better. Always expecting the bummer, you see. A pessimist is one whom, when he smells roses, immediately looks for a funeral. A pessimist, W.C. Fields, the quintessential pessimist, he said, smile first thing in the morning and get it over with. And Groucho Marx, another famous pessimist, he said, if you find anything to laugh about these days, it's only because you're not paying attention. And there are those that have this mentality, this tendency, this propensity towards pessimism. Now, in our text, in our story, we see that our character, Jacob, had just such a propensity. He tended to be pessimistic. And pessimism has rightly been called the indigestion of the soul. It makes you sick. And Jacob, in our story, would be going through days and weeks and months and years of sickness of soul. Because, you see, he tended to be pessimistic. Think with me. Earlier in chapter 37, these older sons of Joseph, these sons of Jacob, they came his way and said, Dad, 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 your son Joseph, our little brother, he's been killed. And Jacob, the father, heard that bad report, which was not true. And he believed it. He believed the bad. And he grieved. And the Bible says that he would not be comforted. When those older brothers of Joseph, those sons of Jacob, came to Jacob and said, Joseph is dead, he believed it immediately. Chapter 37. Now, here in chapter 45, the same older brothers of Joseph, the same sons of Jacob, come and say, Dad, Dad, Joseph, he's alive, and he's governor of Egypt. Jacob wouldn't believe it. He believed what wasn't true because it was bad. And he wouldn't believe what was true because it seemed to be so good. That's pessimism. He didn't believe them when they said, good news, Dad, Joseph isn't dead. He's governor. He's the head hog at the trough in Egypt. He wouldn't believe them. But when they said earlier, Dad, Joey is dead, he readily believed them. That's pessimism. Pessimism, the tendency, the propensity to believe the worst, you see. To embrace anything that reeks of bummerness. You see, that's Jacob's tendency. Jacob did not believe the good report when the same sons came his way that day and said, Joseph is alive. No way. And it says his heart fainted. even as we read in Psalm 27, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27 says, so here Jacob, he's fainting. It says in our text here, Jacob's heart, verse 26, last phrase, fainted, for he believed them not. But then, even though verse 27 tells you and me, they told Jacob all the words of Joseph, which they heard. They encountered Joseph face to face, as most of you know, and as all of us shall see in the coming study. They came back and they shared the word that they heard, and Jacob didn't believe. But it says, verse 27, then when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. He saw the wagons outside. He saw the wagons that Joseph had sent from Egypt to carry him, that is Jacob his dad, back to Egypt to live in the prosperous land of Goshen, the best part of the Egyptian empire. He saw the wagons, and although he didn't believe when he heard the word, he did believe when he saw the wagons outside. And his heart revived. Watch this, Bible students. And Israel, verse 28, said, it is true. It was Jacob that said, no way. Jacob, that's his given name. His name that means heel snatcher. The name that's linked with that man when he's oftentimes in the flesh. Israel is his God-given name, which means what? Governed by God. And now you see, because he's believing, it says, and Israel, verse 28, said, it's true. And I'm going to see my son Joseph and talk to him face to face, you see. Interesting. Now, this really struck me the other day when I was pondering this passage. And it really hit me in a way that delighted my heart. And I pray that it will you too. For you see, even though pessimistic Jacob, ready to believe the worst, oh, my son is dead. No, he wasn't. And not willing to believe the good that was true. He's alive. No, he's not. He wouldn't believe when he heard the word. But when he saw the wagons, that's when he was convinced. It reminds me of Thomas. Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know his story. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe this report that you guys are sharing about Jesus being risen from the dead. Preposterous. Impossible. I'm not going to believe it unless I can do what? Touch the holes in his hands and put my finger in his side where the spear pierced him. Thomas was doubting. And Thomas did then come into a face-to-face encounter with Jesus and became a believer. Well, Jacob has that same kind of tendency. I'm not going to believe the word that I've heard. But when he saw the wagons that were outside, when he saw the wagons, he said, it's true. And his spirit revived. Many times we don't believe the word that we've heard. But here's the good news for you. And here's what I want you to think through with me briefly this evening. What really struck me, and what truly deeply blesses me, is even though Jacob did not believe the word that he heard, even though he was pessimistic, even though he believed the bad stuff that wasn't true and didn't believe the good stuff which was true, even though he didn't believe the word, the fact of the matter is, his disbelief did not derail the wagon train that Joseph sent his way to pick him up and bring him to Goshen that day. Now, gang, that is great news. His disbelief, his pessimism, his cynicism did not derail the wagon train. Even though Jacob was pessimistic and sour, and he had perhaps reason to be, people do. People that are pessimistic and sour, they often have reasons why they're so cynical. Like the bee. Bees don't have nice dispositions. You know, bees can be a real hassle during your barbecue or during your outdoor picnic. But really, think about it. They fly 100,000 miles going from flower to flower to gather nectar for 1 pound of honey. 100,000 miles a bee would have to fly to get enough nectar to make 1 pound of honey. That's a lot of buzzing around. And then somebody comes and steals it. I mean, here they go, buzzing around, working hard, gathering nectar, and then somebody comes and rips off all their work. No wonder they sting people. No wonder they're brutal, you see. And people have reasons why they are cynical. Lady calls her friend and says, after they were chatting on the phone for a while, "Hey, did you wake up grouchy today?" And she responded, "No, I let him sleep in." And there can be reasons why people are grouchy or why they sting people with cynicism or whatever it might be. I understand that. And perhaps Jacob had good reason to be the way he was, humanly speaking. But here's the fact of the matter. Even though he was steeped in pessimism, even though he was filled with cynicism, it did not derail the wagon train that Joseph, who is a picture of, a type of Jesus Christ, sent his way. The wagons were still coming, even though Jacob was a bit of a jerk in our story. The wagons were still sent his way, and that's good news for me because I can be Jacob-like from time to time. Maybe you can too. Believing the worst, believing the bummer, not believing the word that we've heard. We don't say, "Hey, wonderful," but we say, "There's got to be a hitch, a catch. That can't be true." Even if I don't believe, the fact of the matter is this. The wagons are still headed my way, and they are headed your way too. You see, you might be in a famine right now. You might be famished spiritually. You might be going through dry times. You might have an aching in your soul. But I got good news for you. The wagon has been sent your way. The wagon is rolling in your direction right now. Even if you're pessimistic, dour, cynical, and doubting, that wagon train is not derailed. What wagon? The lunch wagon. The lunch wagon is coming. The lunch wagon. The lunch wagon that is prepared for you, that will take you to the greatest meal ever fixed, called the marriage feast of the Lamb. You might not feel like things are going your way or things are going to work out today, but let me tell you, it doesn't derail the lunch wagon that God has sent to you and is headed in your direction. We say that can't be true, this marriage feast of the Lamb, this idea that we can just enjoy the Lord now and eternally. There's got to be some hitch to it. There ain't no free lunch. Yes, there is in the Lord. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat." Buy and eat if you have no money. You can come and buy and eat even though you don't have any currency. The invitation is to delight your soul in fatness freely, you see. The lunch wagon is headed in your direction. The marriage feast of the Lamb is right around the bend. It's true. Perhaps you say, "But you know what, I'm just so cynical or full of doubt or pessimistic about my family." It's not just the lunch wagon that's coming your way, it's the station wagon. The station wagon. You see, Christy and I were stopped yesterday and talked to a gal in town late at night. And she was sharing with us about a family matter. And we could rejoice in this. We could say, you know what the word has to say? Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Your kids might be scattered right now, might have wandered away currently. But the station wagon is coming down the bend. Even if you don't believe, even if you're pessimistic, cynical, or full of doubt like Jacob was, the station wagon, man. God promised that that which is committed to him, he will keep. God promised that he that hath begun a good work will bring it to fruition. God promised, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and your house. The promises of God are intact, and even if you don't believe it, hey, the wagon's still rumbling down the track. It's headed in your direction, the station wagon that's going to take us and pack us all in to our heavenly vacation, man. Those that have gone on before us, those loved ones that we miss, those people that we care deeply about, that we miss greatly, hey, the station wagon is coming our way. It's not just a lunch wagon, the marriage feast, a station wagon. The whole family is going to be together. But let me tell you something. We're going to be taken up to heaven. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? A band of angels coming after me. We're on our way to heaven. All of us. Even if you doubt it, even if you're kind of pessimistic concerning it, the fact of the matter is, if you're a believer, you're on board and you're going to heaven with us. And when we get there, we're going to look around and, you know, he's going to show us what he's prepared for us over these past 2,000 years, and it is going to be the ultimate welcome wagon. He's going to say, here you are, Johnny. And I'm going to say, perfect, Lord. This is exactly what I was hoping for. It's beyond anything I imagined. How did you know this is exactly what would make me happy? And he'll say, because I'm God. I know exactly what you need. The welcome wagon, man. Into my new home, I'll be welcomed. He will be there to greet me. He will be there to greet you. The welcome wagon, man, is coming in your direction. Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. The lunch wagon, the marriage feast. Eat freely. Delight yourself in fatness right now and on into eternity. The station wagon, the whole family is going to be together again. It's really going to happen. The welcome wagon, our new home is going to be absolutely perfect. Guarantee. No one's going to say, I was hoping for something else. When you see it, your mind will be blown and your mind will be boggled and you'll say, primo, excelente, wonderful, Lord. Hey, you know, when I get to heaven, I can't wait. I tell you the truth, last night listening to Greg and the gang on Saturday night worship, when they were doing the meeting and singing the gospel songs, and they did a tune called The Old Rugged Cross. And man, I tell you, it just struck me the way they sang it. And then going up to the Solid Rock and hearing my friend Rick and his family. What a fabulous night that was at the Solid Rock Coffee House. And I drove home and I was just pondering this again. I can't wait to sing. I mean, you know, I want to sing like this, you know. You know, Peter, John, and Christy were on the air on Thursday and they told millions of people that were listening to K-Apple. They were talking, you know, we were talking back and forth a bit, and I was saying, you know, I'm going to sing, you know, and Peter says, you're a great tenor. And I thought, great, wonderful. He said, yeah, you got to sing 10 or 12 blocks away, you know. I know I can't sing real good right now, but you know what? The wagon's headed my way. The wagon, what wagon? The band wagon. I want to be in the band. Come on, I want to be in the band. Let me be in the band. It's going to happen. The band wagon is coming. And I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be singing in heavenly harmony right along with As For Me In My House. In John 2, you see. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be on the band wagon. Yeah, I'm going to be there in the station wagon with my family. I'm going to be there. The welcome wagon wide open for me. The wagons are coming. The wagons are coming. And nothing can derail that fact. And you know what? I tell you this. Everything is going to be taken care of. Everything is going to be covered. It's a covered wagon. It's coming down the pike. And I'll tell you this. The whole thing is covered completely. My inadequacies, my stupidities, my sins, covered, covered, covered. Because you see, in that covered wagon is the blood of the Lamb. I'm washed, I'm cleansed. And I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there, and so are you. Every one of you who's a Christian, We're all going to get there, even if, like Jacob, we don't believe the word that we heard today. The fact of the matter is, hey, the wagons are still coming. The wagons are still coming, and they're going to show up. And like Jacob, you're going to see him, we're going to see him, and we're going to say, it's true, it's enough. There it is. There it is, the lunch wagon, and there it is, the welcome wagon, and there it is, the station wagon, and there it is, the band wagon, and there it is, the covered wagon, and you're going to get there successfully. You're going to get there without any breakdowns because it's not a Volkswagen. It's not a Volkswagen. You're going to arrive safe and sound and secure. I guarantee God's promised it. And even if you don't believe the word that you've heard about these matters, the fact of the matter is, if you're a believer, the wagons are coming and nothing can derail that fact. Because he has accomplished the work. Because it is a done deal. You say, well then, if that's so, then I guess we can just be cynical. Yeah, you can. Your cynicism, my pessimism, will not derail the wagons that are coming down the track. But you see, here's the thing, and I leave you with this thought. None live so pleasantly as those who live optimistically. None live so pleasantly. The way to live pleasantly is to live optimistically. If you live pessimistically, then you are going to have perpetual indigestion in your soul. You're going to have a sour stomach in your personality. But if you choose to live optimistically, none live so pleasantly as those who live optimistically. It's true what Spurgeon had to say. A little bit of faith will get your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul. A little bit of faith will get your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will get heaven into your soul. None live so pleasantly as those who choose to live optimistically, you see. Ah, last night she chose to live optimistically. At the Solid Rock Coffee House, one of the college career girls came bounding up to me. Praise the Lord, Pastor John, she said. Praise the Lord. I said, what's going on? She said, my car got broken into and my stereo was stolen. And she was really smiling. And she had a gleam in her eye. And I said, talk to me. She said, well, you know, my stereo got stolen and all of my CDs, and they were all Christian CDs. And there was a Christian CD in the stereo that got stolen, and they stole my Bible too. Whoever it was has got a big surprise in for them. They're going to get zapped by the Lord, you see. And I looked at her and I thought, classic. And she was truly, honestly, not affectedly or phonily, but truly, honestly thrilled. She's been saved for less than 2 years. And she came bounding up and said, you know, Pastor John, that person's going to hear the word. They got my Bible, and all your notes for the last 2 years almost are in the margins of that Bible. They're going to get the teaching and hear the word. I just know God's going to do something awesome. And I said, you're right. And then she said, I went home and I told my parents. They're not believers yet, she said. And they couldn't believe that I was excited about my CDs and my CD player and my Bible getting ripped off and my car getting broken into. They can't figure it out, she said. And I said, oh man, God bless you. I mean, she is, you know, she could have been, oh boy, figures. Of all the cars in the parking lot, it was my car. And my stereo and my CDs. And besides that, my Bible. Bummer. Figures. This always happens to me. Eeyore. That's what she could have done. I would have understood that. But she was no Eeyore. She was, oh, a Tigger. Oh, the wonderful thing. I mean, she came bouncing up. And she was truly, honestly hopping. She was thrilled. She was excited. She said, this has been a witness to my parents, and that criminal's going to get saved probably, and God's doing a work. I got ripped off, you know. That's optimism. She heard the word and she believed. None live so pleasantly as those who live optimistically. I know, she said, there's going to be big time blessing. And I said, you bet there is. I said, we as a church want to give you $300 worth of CDs and go get a Bible right now at the bookstore. So we gave her, and she hopped out of there. Oh, wow, God's so good, you see. None live so pleasantly as those who choose to live optimistically. But even if you don't choose to live optimistically, even if I choose to be E-or-E, even if we choose to be doubters and cynics and all the rest, you see, good news, the trains are on the way anyway. Nothing is going to derail that welcome wagon, that lunch wagon, that station wagon, that covered wagon, that not Volkswagen. Nothing's going to derail that because God is going to come through. He came through for Jacob, and He's going to come through for me, and He's going to come through for you. Nothing can stop the purposes of God from coming to pass. And that makes me really, really happy. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank You that even when we are doubters and even when we are pessimists and even when we are cynical, Lord, it doesn't thwart Your purposes. I thank You, Lord, that You are faithful. And even though Jacob didn't believe the word he heard, yet Joseph still sent the wagons his way. And I know that You're doing the same thing for us in our day. And Father, I pray that those that are here tonight who perhaps have been battling the blues a bit might know that the wagons are coming. The wagons are coming. The wagons are on the way. And may they, Lord, find themselves, may we find ourselves infused with hope, filled with faith. But Lord, whether or not we choose to embrace the truth, I do know that You're going to come through because You're so good, so faithful, and Your word is absolutely true. Bless these Your people now, Father. And Father, if there be those in this amphitheater who have not got on board yet, who have not joined us in this pilgrimage to heaven, may this be the moment, may this be the evening in which You save souls, Lord. In Jesus' name.